Welcome to The Future is Female Powerlifting, a show where women of all strengths can explore the world of female powerlifting. I am your host, Heidi Donnell, a 60-kilo powerlifting gym owner, and each episode we bring you an inspiring interview or message to help you unlock your true inner strength potential. Thanks for tuning in.
Aloha, my beautiful friends. I had to say it like that because that's how you say it when you go to a luau. So for those of you who have been to Hawaii and you've been to a luau, then you know they all say aloha. And, you know, you're supposed to say it back. So I hope you guys are saying it in your car or wherever you're listening to me right now. But we are on to episode number 17, my ladies. And just to give you guys a little heads up, what's up with me. I have my first meet back in over a year this next Saturday, April 20th in Birmingham. It's going to be the Magic City Showdown. Feeling great for it. Just did my squat and my bench opener today. I'm going to hit my opener on Saturday. And I'm kind of just going to see where I'm at weight-wise. To be honest, normally I cut down to 132. I carry myself anywhere around 139. But... You know, this has happened to me before, and I'm not big on cutting. And, you know, we've had this conversation before, and I'm especially not big on cutting when it's my girl time, if you know what I'm talking about, right? When I got my period, it is just not easy. So you just can't do the things that you normally can do. So anyways, I'm not really sweating it too much. I want to perform well, and that is the most important thing. So I'm not really going to compromise too much if I can't be at the weight I want to be. So anyways, big shout out to Julia Anto and her husband, Christian, who I've been training with. They're awesome coaches, and they've really been able to help me dial things in. And I'm stoked. I'm stoked to see where this next year will be. On our episode number 17, we have a very special guest who I was able to connect with, and somebody very different than we've had for so many reasons. This was a great episode. We had Miss Marcia Darbuzzi. I hope I said her name, last name right, because I forgot to talk to her about her last name. But she is a physical therapist, a doctor of physical therapy, as well as an athlete, a powerlifter, and a strongman competitor in Florida. And one of the most enlightening things with our conversation was that Marcia really has been battling with a chronic illness. So she has an autoimmune disease that she does not know what it is. So no doctor has been really able to give her a clear answer as to why she has these symptoms, why she is having pains and needles and things going on. They can't pinpoint it. And so she really talks about her struggle with not only her autoimmune disease, but all of that culminating around the time when her mother passed. And so this is, to me, a great way to look and hear from somebody who has to suffer with something, which it would be so much more relieving if you knew what was going on. Just imagine not really knowing, you know, and you're kind of going on possibly years like this. And she had mentioned that people sometimes go 10, 15 years without even being diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. And, you know, autoimmune disease can wreak havoc on your body. There are a number of different types of autoimmune diseases, Hashimoto's, even arthritis is an autoimmune where your body just sort of eats itself. So it was a very, very educational time to talk about all of this, as well as her feedback about being a physical therapist and the things that she sees with athletes. She gets into it, how she got started with her brother and her family, and she got a little push in the YMCA. And I think you'll be kind of astounded to hear how she got motivated to actually start training. It's a funny story. We kind of go off a little bit on ways people... And I know we all do this when we Google something or we look into a product, and specifically we started talking about the fascia blaster, and I know you guys have seen it out there. It's like driving me crazy. But whether that's legit or not, And Marcia is not only a doctor of physical therapy, but she is also hosting the Pool for Pride out in Florida. And I will leave the contact information here for you guys to find it. And she's a business owner. She owns the Quad Shop. And she really talks about how that became a passion for her and why she even started in the first place. And this episode is brought to you by Core Strength and Performance, where we live a little better through strength. If anybody you know in the area is looking for training, powerlifting, beginner to intermediate, we cater to anybody who's just interested in being a little bit stronger. You can visit our website at www.core256.com and find us on Instagram at CoreSNP. And I would like to give a shout out to you ladies who reach out to me on Instagram, Miss Anna Smash. We've been talking for a little bit about USAPL. That's a whole nother thing. Kelsey lists things. Earl, the powerlifting pearl. Like, come on. That's a dope name. I just love that. Emily Coloma. We have Hooks Cooks and Coops Lifts and T Dizzle. Thank you guys for reaching out and listening. I always appreciate it. And for those of you out there, this is your first time, please share if you like it. Send me a screenshot, whatever you got to do. This helps us grow and I appreciate it. So let's get it going with Marcia. So I know that we know each other from Instagram, which is like how everybody meets nowadays.
Right.
And then I realized that you know Ashley too. Ashley Deal.
Yeah. That's how I know. That's how I looked you up and, you know, the podcast and all of that.
I saw a picture of you two together. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, she's super cool. And I saw you two together and I was like, oh, that makes sense because you guys are strongmen and you guys are in the same area. I mean,
Yeah. All the shield-beater stuff that she's got going on, I'm like right there behind her.
That's helping awesome. Her with so it. How is that right now? Are you strictly strongman or do you do both? How does that go for you as far as training goes?
I mean, as far as training, I do whatever I want, but as far as competition goes, powerlifting is kind of like, maybe we'll see. Strongman's a little nicer on the, I mean, it seems like a ridiculous amount of things and you're lifting things you have no business lifting, but the setup and the training for it is, to me, way easier to handle.
Than powerlifting. Why do you say that?
Powerlifting is like you have to hope that there's one day that you do three things perfectly, you know? Yeah. And it's like, I have to do the best I can do. Last time I did this, and I got to do this, and I got to, oh, this girl's got this, and I want to get first. Like, it's, whoa.
I can see that. When you say it I could see that.
Yeah, and when it comes to, like, the way my body works, like, I could just, you know, miss a nap one day, and I'm freaking wrecked for the week. Yeah. So to have all of that fall down on one day, hard pass.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, like, you already know exactly what to expect. Things change. You know, people always say, oh, that's strong, man. Because, you know, they might list a way to something. You get there, something else. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, you need to carry this yellow yoke for this distance fast as you can. You got to lift this keg. It's going to weigh this much. You have a minute. Like, you know, there's no surprise. So for the most part, so far, the weights that have been put up, like, I can do them already. So I could do it, see how it feels, and I'm like, all right, if I have a shitty day, I know where I can go with this.
So what made you get into it? Because you're for our listeners who don't know, you're a doctor of physical therapy, and you don't often see physical therapists doing strong sports. So what made you go that route?
Well, I've been into fitness and whatever for, you know, forever. You know, high school I did soccer and flag football. You know, my mom wanted me to be a cheerleader and I was like, it's not fun enough. So I was always chasing something.
Right.
College, I did the intramural sports. I kind of dabbled in the weight room, but it was like full of bros and it's like, this is weird. So I didn't pick it up yet. But once I came back home, I switched schools. And then I was kind of back with, I have two older brothers. One of them is a MMA fighter. So he's always in the gym and he's always training and he's always like, what are you doing? Go to the gym. And, you know, my family has a family thing. They're like, all right, what you doing today? Like, we're going to the gym.
That's so pretty awesome. Kind of,
for me, it is pretty awesome because it gave me that little safety net, you know, and I went in there and I was just like, you know, screw all you old guys. I don't care who's here.
Yep.
I'm going to start lifting something. And then, you know, I kind of just building and building and then, one day I heard, and I used to do like spin class, the Zumba, all of that.
Right. Didn't we all?
And one day I heard one instructor, And you know, not everybody at YMCA is like super thin, super fit, whatever. It's all sorts of bodies.
Right.
And this lady was pretty beefy, pretty big, and somebody was asking her if she wanted to lose weight. And she was like, oh, well, you know, I fell off a little bit. Maybe I'll lose some weight. But, you know, under all this fat, I have tons of muscle because I lift weights all the time. And then I walked away. I was like, she wasn't talking to me. I walked away. I was like, you know what? I'm not really fat at all. I could probably get muscle right now.
Yeah.
And, like, that's, you know, as stupid as it is, like, that's when I was like, all right, I'm going to hit the gym.
Yeah.
Hit the weights.
Yeah. Why that, right? Like, why did that seep into your brain the way it did, right? That's so funny. So what, you started lifting at the Y, so you started there. So
yeah.
Okay.
Super commercial gym, YMCA, mm-hmm. LA Fitness.
Yep.
I was doing like bodybuilding.com, pyramid workouts.
Yep. That's what we all did. Uh-oh. You know, it's so funny. I was just talking about somebody about that where it's like non-existent now. Like, I mean, there, it's still there, but it's not the way it used to be.
Yeah, is it even cool anymore? I don't even go.
I've heard that the business is sort of taking a nosedive because of that, because they really were a supplement and sort of a social networking for fitness, you know, but now it's pivoted and they haven't really pivoted. Which is sad because I still have my profile. I'm sure it's still there and I still have some before.
I know.
Pictures.
It probably is. That's where I got all my workout plans. I didn't know what a Chico was or you know, anybody. I didn't know what that was. Bodybuilding.com.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, it's like some of those videos weren't very good. No, think about it. We just kind of figured it out.
They were trash.
Yeah.
They were.
Remember now? Now
trash,
it's like, it's like you just lift this and put this here and do all that. It's like so different now. It's like you have you have people think they're experts, and then you have real experts who are helping you out.
You got, there's always levels to it. Yeah. Always levels.
So then you started training, just regular weight training, doing all that. What made you kind of go in this route of strength sports?
So that was, what was that, 2011. I'm at LA Fitness. You know, all the gym bros are coming. And where I live is mostly South Florida, right? So everybody in that gym is like Cubans, Trinis, Jamaicans, Haitians, you know, a bunch of brown people.
Right.
So it's a little different than when I used to go to YMCA or when I used to go to college in Orlando and it was full of like blonde dudes that surf on the weekends. Like, it's a totally different vibe. I mean, obviously there's still like toxic masculinity and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, people come up to you and you're a strong girl. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, and then obviously there's still the dudes that are like, your uterus is going to fall out, but you know, whatever. Those guys always exist. But, you know, I mean, people just kept beefing me up.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, all right, well, damn, shit, I must be strong. Maybe I'll do what do people do when they're strong?
Yeah.
I hopped on the internet and I typed in lifting events. And, you know, I guess at the time, USAPL had the best SEO because you have the first one that
first
popped
one popped up.
Yeah. I was like, all right, guess I'm doing this. And that was my first meet in 2011.
Wow, that's awesome. That's so crazy. So you looked up strength sports, and I think that's kind of how it goes. Like you find out, at least for me, I was like, I am kind of strong. You know, like then I was like, well, I could be kind of good at this strong thing, you know, instead of just like bodybuilding. And then I was like, you know, and I'm like, I'm stronger than that girl. I'm stronger than that girl. And I'm like, okay, where else can I go with this? And that's kind of funny because that's how, you know, we slowly found powerlifting. It all kind of came into place when all those things came together for us. Yeah. So at this time you've already finished school.
Well, I was towards the end of my bachelor's, you know, applying for DPT school, which is 3 years after.
Okay.
So I've been in school for most of it, but that meet was a pretty big deal because that's when I met some old school powerlifters, and I don't even remember what USAPL was called before, but they were a part of it before it was USAPL, and they were just like, took me under their wing, and then, you know, I kind of took off after that. I trained in like a real gym.
What was that gym
program
called?
it used to be called Just Lift. It does not exist currently.
Oh,
the crew,
some.
It did fall apart a little bit, but the main guys, they're still like my third and fourth and fifth dads.
They're all
pretty
still
cool.
Going. So that's crazy. So you started off with powerlifting. So
did you
did more meets after that?
Yeah, it was wild. I probably did like as many meets as I could because Rob Keller down here would do a lot of meets in Davie, which is nothing. And then there would be meets in Lakeland, which is like, what, 2 hours? So I was doing 4 or 5 meets a year. And then finally, you know, when I started qualifying for nationals and, you know, it got a little bit more serious, I was like, okay, maybe I need to chill.
Yeah, right. let me bring that strength up a little bit. So you're probably like mellowing out how many meets you were doing from that point.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how, is that how you start or is that just me?
As no, far as the
tons of meets.
I guess
at
mine
a time.
Mine wasn't very normal because I was bodybuilding at the time. So it was like okay. I did a meet. I just finished a show and I was gonna go back to powerlifting, but I ended up just going to bodybuilding. And then by the time I went back to powerlifting exclusively, it was like we're PCSing, we're moving from Missouri to Texas. And so like I really just couldn't commit the way I wanted to. So I had done a meet right after, about 6 months after I gave birth. And that was kind of like, I'm fucking doing this. I'm getting back in shape. And I was actually very slow to get started because I had a big complication after my pregnancy. So I was like all freaked out that I was going to bleed out on everywhere. Even though that didn't happen. It wouldn't have happened because it was a placenta thing. But it was definitely very like, I have videos and I actually just downloaded them. You know, when you Facebook, it's like, you know, whatever flashback it is. Yeah. And it's me with like 45 pounds, I think. Maybe, no, it was the bar and 210s and 65 and a big ol' ass and a big ol' thighs because I'm like 180 something at that point. Yeah. And mind you, I'd already lost 20 pounds. So I'm like 180 something and I'm trying to squat and it's just scared, you know, that feeling of. So I didn't really do a lot of meets. I think I only stuck to, I still only do like 2 a year.
Yeah.
Maybe 3. I think I've done 1 year where I did 3, but normally it's just 2. I just end up having so much shit going on, you know, I'm like, can I commit to 3? I don't think I can. I can do one in the beginning and I can do one at the end because I can like stay focused. Like, because then I have to like prep again and then prep again. Like, nah, I can do one in the beginning and then I can get strong again and move that forward and do one at the end of the year. So that's kind of like my plan this year.
Yeah. I think also part of it was like the newbie gains, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
You just start, like, you're going to get stronger. It doesn't matter what you do or how you do it. And at the time, I didn't care about the weight.
Right.
I didn't care what weight class. I just showed up.
Yeah.
So that was for a couple of years. It wasn't for a long time that I actually cared. Like, all right, maybe I should pick a weight class and get serious.
Yeah, I think it's like once you start realizing, hey, I can be actually very competitive, that's when you're like, all right, let me actually look at this as a sport in the sense of me competing in it instead of just showing
because
up.
I had all the state records and, you know, I was like the strongest to me in 2012. Yeah. And then whatever, but you know, I like found out about the nationals, and I'm what are those big girls doing? All right, I'm not supposed to be a big girl. Never mind. That's not for me. Because I used to be like 200 pounds, and then I used to be like, this is cool, it's fine, I don't care.
Yeah, but you're tall. I mean, you're not a petite person.
Five seven.
That's tall. I'm 5'1" on a good day.
Okay, well, I'm a giant to you, but to the normal people.
I think the American average is like a 5'5". So 5'7" is pretty tall. So what made you branch off into strongman then?
Honestly, I don't know if that's just the kind of person I am, but if I'm interested or if I want to do something, I just do it. So one of my friends that whole time, you know, I had that powerlifting crew in the gym, he's one of the co-owners of Broward Barbell, actually. He opened that a couple years after Just Lift went down. And he always, you know, dabbled in strongman. He would compete every once in a while. And it's funny because, you know, all my old buddies, they're kind of a little closed-minded. They're like, oh, well, you can't do both. You got to stick to one. You should train for strongman. You know, there's no way you come back power. So I was just like, all right, well, I won't be doing it. You know? Then after a while, you know, my last two Raw Nationals that I actually did, 2016, 2017, it was like absolute trash, and I was going through a lot because I still don't know what's going on with my body or where it's at, whatever. But
let's talk about that a little bit because I know that you had mentioned that before, but undiagnosed autoimmune disorder is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So it's still undiagnosed.
It's scary, but most people, you know, go 10, 15, 20 years without having an answer. So hopefully that's not me because, you know, I'm a pussy bitch. Pushy bitch.
Okay.
You know, sorry. Pushy.
It's okay. Like, you can be a pussy bitch too.
Yeah, I could be that too, but whatever. So, you know, I like hawk these doctors down and I like message them and call them. Anyways, so hopefully not 15, 20 years for me. We're going on 4 now. But when it first happened, Raw Nationals 2016 was the first time that my lifting was actually affected. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get all womanly here, but I was bleeding every 2 weeks for like 2 weeks straight.
Wow.
It was really odd. And I would get if you saw, I think I was narcoleptic or something, because I'd be on the couch watching TV and the next thing knocked out till the next day.
Wow.
Like I was all over the place. So when I showed up in Atlanta and I was like barely got my openers. I mean, I technically didn't bomb out, but I barely got my openers. I wasn't even close to numbers I was hitting. And I kind of just left. And I'm like, yo, what is this?
Right.
You know, and I brushed it off. You know, went to gyno. They're like, oh, just switch your birth control. You'll be fine. Do-do-do-do. You know, everybody's, you're young. You look good. You'll be fine. You don't look sick. That's kind of like the vibe.
Right.
So then I kept going. You know, the next year I tried to sign up for a meet. My body wasn't having it. All right, canceled. Then, you know, I did a meet, qualified for nationals. And, you know, it was like great meet, best total, whatever, whatever. And then I don't compete again until 2017 nationals. And I get there. And that wasn't just a body issue. That was also like a family thing because I'm warming up for squats. I mean, number one, I'm like dizzy. I feel weird. I have tingling in my legs. It's just everything's just off. I don't know what's going on. I'm still kind of in denial of like, you know, something serious is happening.
Right.
You know, I'm just, you know, I'm at this meet. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do good. I'm here in prime time. I made it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm feeling all beefed up. And then I'm warming up doing squats and, you know, I get a call that my mom, I left her and she was there. I thought it wasn't a big deal. But then we found out she had leukemia. So I had that on top of it. And after that, I was just gone. I don't even know what planet I went to. Somehow I went through that meet. By the time I got to deadlifts, I think I did crappy opener. And then after that, I just laid on the floor.
Yeah.
It was not fun.
Wow.
Not fun.
Wow. So that all happened right before? That's fucking nuts.
Yes. Yes. Squat warm-ups, it's like absolutely insane. So I kind of, you know, came off. I was already a little jaded about the Federation and, you know, the way they treat some people that I know that have disabilities and, you know, the favoritism, whatever. I was a little jaded. And then, you know, like my body's shitty. And then, you know, like the last Raw Nationals crappy. I'm like, eh, maybe I'll just chill from powerlifting for a bit.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do something else.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty much it. So I was like, what is something else? Oh, strongman looks like fun.
Yeah.
And that was that.
Wow. That's crazy. And can I ask how your mom's doing now?
Oh, she didn't make it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So now you're moving into strongman. And how do you like that?
Well, last year was last year. I did the same thing I do with powerlifting. Got crazy. Did like 4 meets.
Did you like, really?
Yeah, I did my first ever comp in February. Then I signed up for my in April, which is like a big deal. Like those weights are heavy.
Wow.
Then I did another one in the summer. Then I did Florida Strongest in December. So, you know, it's been going pretty well.
So you're still undiagnosed with this autoimmune disorder.
Yeah.
So how do you know, what are the symptoms you're feeling? How did you figure it out that it was autoimmune? Like, I have so many questions about this. Like, so your doctors don't even know. So you're like pressing them like, what's up?
Yeah. I mean, it was tougher earlier on because I had crappy insurance. So just to get like an MRI authorization would be like a week or two. Then I'd go and it's like $300. And if I need this test, I don't know how much it's going to cost and I won't do it. So now I have better insurance. So I just pull up. I'm like, hey, this is my neuro. Listen, I got pins and needles. Something is wrong. And they'll be like, oh. X impinged. I'm like, no, something is wrong. And that's kind of how it goes. Like I don't have time for it, you know? Like it's sad now that I'm on both sides, as I used to treat people like me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I used to work in hospitals, I don't do now, and I used to throw, you know, spinal cord stroke, and they would just be so down, and not even just because of their diagnosis, like, you know, you tell them, oh, man, you should get this thing checked down. They're like, eh, I don't want to. Mm-hmm. And I never. now I do. It's like, because these doctors treat you like, okay, who are you? Did I even look at your file before I walked through the door? What's your issue? I've had doctors ask me questions. I'm like, that's not me. Check the file again.
No.
Yeah. I've had doctors. I'm like, why? Well, like, I asked you a question before I got here. You told me to make an appointment. I'm here. You didn't answer my question. You need to refund my copay because I don't have time for it.
Yeah. I love that you said that. You need to refund my copay. Like, that is awesome because that's, I mean, you're paying for a service too. And I think, because I'm in the medical field I think it's one of those things when you start working in it, you see, and it makes me sad. Like, it's sad what things I see. Not at my, luckily my work, because I work for a physical therapist, he's great, but I've worked for a pain doctor who was cool, very good pain doctor, but I see all the people around and all the other companies, all the other doctors. I mean, it really is. And I know it's a business and part of his business, but business can bring out the worst in people. When you're talking about money with medical, it's just awful. And that's what it is. You get a lack of good care, of quality care. What kind of doctors do you see? You see regular GPs, or do you see like endocrinologists and stuff?
I have seen endocrinologists, cardiologists, neurologists, rheumatologists, genetics, GI doctor, ophthalmology, and vascular.
And they still don't know what it is?
All those guys. No, not quite. Not quite.
That's interesting. That's crazy. So you're, what are you doing for? Are you doing anything like to try to mitigate some symptoms? Have you tried to change your diet or anything like that?
I mean, diet-wise, it doesn't really... like, it doesn't really go anywhere. I'm not allergic to anything. I had all the testing for that. I don't have, like, H. pylori or anything like that. I can't say that, oh, it's a gluten thing. Or it's not. Yeah, it's not really that simple diet-wise.
So, right.
You know, I gave up on that because I don't have the energy for it. I don't know if you ever heard of the spoon theory at all.
No. Explain it.
So that's kind of how I describe all of this. You know, I have pins and needles. I might have random aches and pains. My muscles twitch when they feel like it. I'm tired. And some days I wake up, you know, let's say you as a person, you're totally able-bodied, totally fine. You get 100 spoons a day and you, that's 2 spoons. Take a shower, 10. Cook dinner, that's, you know, 10 more. Go to work, 25. Get your kids ready for whatever. For me, it's thing every day. You know, sometimes I wake up, it's like 10 of them. And I'm just like, I'm not leaving the couch and this is it for the day.
Yeah.
So it kind of depends. So the first part of all of this is understanding that, that's just how my body works now and that's fine.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it was, you know, mentally I'm like, because I've always been a gung-ho, my to-do list, you know, how many jobs, or even when I went to school with 2 actual diplomas because I had so many credits. Like, I've always been that person. Yeah, so I kind of like, me getting anywhere with this is like, okay, you need to chill the fuck out.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's time to chill.
Right. That must be, was that hard for you to kind of like?
Big time.
Yeah.
And I'm not somebody that is okay with things. I mean, I understand you can't control everything, but I always have some sort of plan.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could plan something and it might not go. I might wake up and I don't feel that good. And I just got to be like, all right, well, fuck it. Never mind.
Yeah. Because it's not worth it. Well, probably getting all upset about it too. I'm sure there was times where you're like fucking frustrated with it. But now it seems like you're pretty good.
That's how I started out. And that's a big part of it because mentally, if you're not right, nothing's right, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had, I feel like having, and it's funny to say, but like, you know, having children to me did a lot of that for me, where I had to be okay with things not going the way I had planned it or the way I wanted things to go, or, you know, pretty much they throw a wrench in your fucking schedule all the time, or you're, you know, you're having a great morning and then somebody just didn't have the orange with the sticker on it and now they're losing their cookies because it didn't have the Mickey Mouse sticker on it.
Damn Mickey Mouse sticker.
Why you gotta put stickers on the bananas and the oranges? Yeah. Like, it's like now they always look for it.
but that shift is very similar. Yeah. Because, you know, once you have kids, hopefully, you know, I hope every parent has that feeling. I don't have kids. Like, you know, you have a kid and you're like, all right, well, shit, I got to do this kid thing now.
Yeah, it's whatever, much more flexibility. And I think living with a with a disease or an injury or things like that, I mean, that's, it humbles you in that sense too. Like, you can't do everything all the time and all the things you want to do, you know, all the time, but you can still live very well and you can still do things. It's just not going to be on the terms that you always want it to be on.
Yeah, definitely. So what
go ahead.
The other big part besides like the mental shift also, but my mom passing also helped with that. But just so like for me within myself, in my own mind by myself, you know, I had to change mentally. And then with me, how I interact with the world, that also had to change. Like, I don't have time, like the same way I told you, I don't have time for bullshit with doctors. Like, I don't have time for that for anybody, for anything. Like, anything stresses me out. If I don't like something, like, it's going to get handled. We're moving on. Something's going to happen. Like, I don't have, because that takes up energy that I could have to take care of myself.
So how was that before? Were you not like that as much?
No. No. I took a lot of things. You know, like, I kind of, like, I had, like, an example. I had a toxic boss. And I basically did everything. And his business, because of me, I did his Instagram. You know, I made him a website. Like, I did everything. I cleaned up. Like, I physically would clean his office. Wow. And, like, all this. And then when people, you know, wanted to only work with me, he felt some type of way. Mm. And, you know, when people would complain about him, you know, he felt some type of way. And then things just kind of shifted. It got weird and it got toxic. And I would just handle it because I'd be like, well, I really like working here. It's not that bad. After a while, I was like, yo, what the fuck am I doing? Yeah. And I was just like, yo, I'm out. That's it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm free. You know, like, I'm free. I don't have time. And, you know, people post stuff like that all the time, Instagram.
Yeah.
Take care, number one. You know, like, all those kind of happy-go-lucky whatever quotes. But, you know, you have to get, before you get to that sparkly part, like, you got to get uncomfortable and just handle shit.
Yeah, that is so true. So, yeah, that is so true. It almost like you have to get a little ugly. Well, maybe not everybody, but I feel like there's probably a lot of women in your in exactly the same kind of situation and mental space that you were probably in, right? Where you're kind of like maybe complacent or making excuses for your boss or, you know, like saying like, yeah, it isn't that bad. Really not seeing the signs of the toxic, you know, environment that you're in. And I think a lot of women do more of that than men do. In my opinion, I find a lot more women are in that position where they're like, well, it's not that bad and da 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 da, but it is maybe because we're sort of conditioned to kind of like bite the bullet a tiny bit, you know, and kind of like put up with certain things. I don't know. That's my theory. I'm not sure if that would be something.
No, I agree. I agree with you. I mean, that's our culture. And then on top of that, depending on, you know, this is an immigrant country. Where's your family from? You know, yeah. I'm Haitian. My culture is very paternalistic. Like,
oh, yeah.
And there's also a lot of ageism, you know. If you're older than me right now, you tell me to do something, I got to do it.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter if I want to. It doesn't matter if I had plans for the day.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. You are older than, you know, like, you're a male. Whatever you say is right.
Yeah.
I can't argue with you. Sorry. Never mind.
Isn't that interesting how it's How about, so, you know, I've never really spoke to anybody about their culture, you know, who are Haitian. Do you find, like, when you're preparing dinners or foods, do the women do most of the preparing? Do the men eat separate, or do they eat together? Do they eat first, or do they eat together? Together,
but you're supposed to, you know, the traditional Haitian woman is at home. She cooks. It doesn't matter if she works or not. Right. It doesn't matter if she makes more money than the man. But she comes home, she cooks, and when he sits down and he's ready to eat, she better have that plate fixed. You know, whatever beer he's drinking better be ready. All of that. And then she's going to do laundry. She's going to clean. All of it.
Yeah, it's all interesting. It's interesting. You know, it's, so being in Hawaii, I would say Hawaiian people are not necessarily like that, even traditionally. I think that most cultures have some sort of patriarchy in that, you know, somewhere or another in that way you did. But I had went to, this is like a funny story for me, but I had went to a baby party with one of my friends. So it was like a baby first party, and it was my friend's ex-husband. They were from, Chuuk, the island of Chuuk. So they're Micronesian.
Nice.
So I didn't know a lot of Micronesians till I moved back to Hawaii. And so anyways, they were Chuukese people. When I went there, Samoan people, Hawaiian people, we do a lot of food. Haitians, Caribbean people is like the same way, right? So when we do food big,
You like
right?
overdo it.
Dude, this was like the most I had ever seen in my life. Like, I was blown away. That's where I was like, this is crazy. We walk up and they have a tables, like the 8.5 or those big tables, right? So they're this way and it's making like a box, almost like a box.
Oh
Okay,
boy.
food all the way around and then layers of food underneath in boxes. So they're like stacked underneath. I was like, dude, they're just waiting to go like this, like pull it out and put
Like,
it
just
right
open
on
it
top.
up. There's
Yes.
more.
Yeah, it was so crazy. I was like, this is the most fucking rice I ever seen in my life. Like, there was a whole table for rice. It was just all different rices. I was like, this is nuts. And then the desserts, it was crazy. So I'm sitting there. They do things a little different. They get like a takeout box and they actually fill up takeout boxes. And then you take out your box. Like, that's traditional for them. Like, hey, this is what we do. They don't just eat a plate and throw it away. They take out a box. I was like, all right, I'm down with that. Like, I can take out a box. And then at the end of it, all the women sit with the women and men sit with the men. And I found it so interesting because here we are in America. It is Hawaii, but it is America. And traditionally, I mean, that's how they do it. The men eat with the men and the women eat with the women. And so I stood there with my friend and she's Hawaiian mix, beautiful girl. Her husband's Chickies, but he was raised in a good portion in America, so he had lived both spots. But I was like, "Are you gonna eat with him?" Like, she's like, "I can, but I will get looks." I was like, "What? That's so
Wow.
crazy to me." Yeah. So it's interesting how all those things can play into the culture, which then play into your normal life, and then
Yeah.
having to adapt that to an American life, like your Haitian cultural background, because that is completely true for us too. It's like if you're an elder. It's like in Hawaii we say auntie and uncle as a sign of respect. So if
Yeah,
that's if somebody's
same thing.
oh you guys okay so it's like same and that's not
Yeah.
weird for us at all. It's everybody's auntie and everybody's uncle, and it's
And
sign
then
of
you might
respect.
get like a random 5-year-old that's like, "Oh, he's related," and then you slapped. What are you talking about? Everybody is. And then you figured it out. Like, oh, okay. What we do here? Real quick.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
So how has it been like training through all of that? Do you have all your pains while you're training? Is it it's just some days are good, some days are bad?
Well, the other trigger for me besides, sleep and food or whatever is heat. So, which sucks.
You're
We're
in
in Florida.
Florida. Holy
Yeah.
shit.
So, like I don't fucking around with outside training whatsoever. It's not for me. It's not happening. Gotta stay indoors. I gotta have AC. If I go somewhere or there's a competition or, I'm doing something for my business, I'm gonna call them and I'm gonna be like, "Okay, what's the setup? Where's the AC? Is this indoors? Is this outdoors? Is there a tent? Is there a fan?" Because I gotta know all those things.
Yeah,
Because
totally.
if that's not all there, I gotta show up with, like a cooler with ice, down towels, and I gotta be ready to go.
Yeah.
Bigger shifts. The other thing is I don't pro like I program minimums for myself.
Okay, what do you mean?
So, if I know volume wise, 65% as many reps, like I'm gonna program the minimum for myself, and if I show up and I feel good, all right, I'll do a little more.
Yeah.
It's kind of flexible in that way. And then if I get to the end of the week and it's not working out, okay, well, never mind. I'm not gonna do that third workout of the week. That's fine.
I think that's so important that
Yeah.
because I think a lot of people just give up, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of people who I know that live with autoimmune disease and or any kind of other, injury, and they just don't do anything.
Yeah,
Instead, you're really trying to
exactly.
adapt. And I think that's the way that we have to take on life is if you can't give up and throw your hands up for everything, you got to be able to still challenge your body and adapt and be okay with it not being the best that it is right that day.
Exactly. And it's easy. It's easy to feel helpless and it's easy to learn helplessness also, because if I tell you how many doctors and I tell them what I'm up to, they'll be, "Oh, okay, well, don't do anything if it causes you pain. You should just meditate and just do yoga." I love yoga. I fucking rock. I do yoga all the time, but I'm still gonna lift heavy ass weights. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that's a separate thing. So it's very easy to get into that hopeless, learn helplessness kind of thought cycle. And then once you get deep down and you get stuck there, anything that you do is going to feed into it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Completely. Yeah. I always wonder why more doctors, I guess, I think it's just knowledge, but, building muscle could be so important for metabolism, of course, hormonal balance and all this. And I think it's interesting. I guess maybe it's more the safety thing. Like they don't know, so they don't know what to
Yeah, they
recommend
don't
to you.
know. So, and this is the other thing is, some of them will have kind of a God complex and they feel like they have to know everything. Like, it's okay for you to just be like, I don't really know what that is. Doing it, try not to do it. Yeah, I'd be fine with that. But people just blanket statement, no, you shouldn't lift weights. What do you mean? Like, first of all, my birth control medicine's lowering my bone density. So, like, you want me to have a broken hip by 35? Well, I kind of have to do this.
Totally. Oh, it's so true. I mean, I always think to myself, like, of my first couple years in college, I did the shot, the depot shot.
Yeah, that's what
Oh,
I'm.
and it was, but I had did it for years, and at the time they had recommended you only do a year. The information wasn't out yet, so studies hadn't been showing about the bone density. It still
Oh, you
hadn't.
crazy. You went out and did that early. Ooh.
Girl, this is like 90, this is like 98, like they had it, but they didn't really put two and two together. I wasn't very good with the pill, you know what I'm saying? But that actually messed me up for a long time, and now I'm on the copper IUD because I just don't. I don't want to fuck with no hormones. Like I'd rather have like a heavier cycle and all that that goes with it than be on hormones, because it just, for me, I felt a huge difference once I was off it. It was like crazy. I was like, this is what normal feels like. Holy crap. I have a sex drive. I actually want to do things. I'm not emotional. I don't weigh like 30 pounds heavier. Like it was crazy. And I'm so happy that I'm off of it, but.
I wish I didn't have to be on it. I really do. So I hope somebody figures this shit out because I'm so over it.
So you have to
I'm
stay on
over.
it?
Yeah, otherwise I'm gonna go back to that bleeding every 2 weeks for,
Oh my God.
forever and just being dead all the time. So it's like, picking my poison right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, in that case, it's like better for you to be on it than it would, for me, it wasn't, to me, in my opinion, better. I wish they knew I would have, I knew the options, but I guess it's like you just go for that. Like, my mother was, she didn't know what I know now, like as having three girls, I have to have this conversation soon
Yeah.
about birth control. And we've talked about sex, and they're 10 and 9, and everything in me, I don't want to mess with your hormone system if I don't have to.
Exactly.
I don't
You
want
don't
to do,
have to
no.
just
Yeah,
chill.
like let's talk about other
Yeah.
methods. Let's, I mean, I don't want them to hormonally get any more messed up than they have to. And my mom was always like, I just don't want you to be pregnant. Like,
Yep,
let's
yep,
get you on
yep,
birth
yep.
control. I don't want you to be
Yep,
pregnant.
exactly.
Let's get that. And I can understand that fear, And so there's still a fear for me, of course, that they're just not going to do anything, unless I force them, which I'm not big on forcing my kids to do things. And there'll be an age where it's like, listen, you're going to be an adult, at some point. I'm trying to give you the tools, but I definitely do not want to already set you up hormonally to have all kind of issues, It's so crazy.
It doesn't
So how has it
bode
been?
well.
How's it been being a therapist and being in strength sports? Do you have people come to you all the time? You must have people who are like, oh, I'm so sore here. You must get that all the time.
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, I haven't always been, how I am on Instagram or, my business accounts, whatever. I haven't always been so public and out there and whatever. Like, I used to go to powerlifting meets. I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't make any new friends, So
And that's
it
okay.
is, yeah, that's okay. But now it's totally different. I'm going to this place and I'm like, hi, this is me. This is what I do. Oh, you see me on Instagram? Oh, I seen you. How's it going? And, kind of make a lot of connections. And then there will always be that person like, oh, well, my SI, and everybody is, oh, Google is like my enemy. I think my left SI is acting up. I think it might be my iliopsoas. I'm like, yo, you don't even know. It's like, what are you doing? So that happens tons. Oh, tons.
I hear it all the time, because so I have three physical therapists and about five PTAs, but our PTAs are like legit. They are
Yeah.
just such good PT. I mean, I've never been around PTAs who I felt like just knew so much. I'm very
Yeah, yeah,
impressed by
yeah.
them. I've only been working there about 6 months. But it's just funny to hear, you know, and it is what it is. You always hear the same things coming in, like, you know, I think it's my piriformis, and so I do this, and you know, it's totally not that, you know.
Yeah, no. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Wrong.
So do you see a lot of powerlifters or strength sport people in your work, or just normal patients? I feel like powerlifters are not ones to take care of themselves. That's why.
Yeah, it's an interesting market. I mean, I have a clinic inside my gym.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, the way the network is, it's going to be more athletes and whatever have you. And I don't deal with it, so I don't really get that like feed in of you know, all ages and ranges from insurance. So usually it's, you know, young folks, 20 to maybe it's like 55, and yeah, some sort of CrossFit, weightlift, powerlifting, strongman, something.
Right.
And then there's like a spectrum. So there'll be the guy that has like the ROMWOD membership and like he knows his muscles and, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. And then there'll be another girl and I'll just be doing the stretch and then they're like sweating and okay. Well.
So amongst powerlifters, do you find that there is maybe some sort of pattern that's always present with them, or, you know, maybe things that you think that maybe more powerlifters should be doing that aren't doing?
I think a lot of, like, most people are overthinking it. Like, it's not that deep. Like, your body, I mean, you know, everybody has variations. Everybody has different things going on. Like, it's not that deep. Like, you don't have to do some weird band mobilization thing. You don't have to buy, you know, this roller and that pokey stick shit and this shaky gun. Like, it's not that deep. Like, there's no reason. Like, you should just have your gym bag. You don't need to have a recovery bag.
What,
like,
about the fascia blaster? Really... Have you seen the fascia blaster? Gosh. It's a fascia blaster.
One of them made me mad. I can't remember which brand of gun, but if you go on their webpage, whatever one is, like, orange or something, it actually says on their websites, these people, it says on their website, replace your physical therapist.
Are you serious?
Like, yes.
Like, how are those, so like, how can you even say those kind of things legally? Like, isn't that a HIPAA violation of some sort? Like,
so, yeah, it's really not that deep. And there's a lot of people that'll come and, you know, I look at people's videos, whatever they do. I look at their videos because, you know, it'll be like, oh, at the bottom of the squat, this hurts. So, you know, I look at their videos and I'm like, yo, your feet are uneven. Oh, your feet are uneven. Let's take off your shoes. Oh, you're flat footed. Boom. Let's work on it. Like, it's not that deep. They'll be like, oh, I gotta release this, I gotta do that. Like, it's not that deep. Yeah. You know, I've had a couple of people who just have leg length discrepancies.
Interesting.
Like, it's not that deep. I mean, you kind of find where it starts and then you go from there, but it's never, I gotta throw 10,000 things at it.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest mistakes I see amongst people in the fitness is just like what you're saying. So ROMWOD. So, or what is it called, the ROMWOD? It is, right?
There's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of
right.
them.
Right. So there's a bunch
that are, there's whatever.
There, yeah, so we're talking about all those like Instagram or YouTube accounts where you just kind of learn some sort of mobility thing. And I think in theory, it's kind of a good, you know, educating people on, you know, maybe some exercises that are mobility or flexibility based.
Yeah.
But the problem lies in the application, because then people just do that. And
yeah.
A lot of those things should be done if you have a problem and you're sort of self-diagnosing yourself, right? You're like, all right, I do have that pain there. So let me do this and strap it around my hip and then, you know, put it against the thing, you know, and then pull back. And then people overdo it. So then they sit in these things, because I've done it several times where I'm like, let me stick a ball, you know, let me put it right in my glute ham, tie it. And then 15 minutes later, I've got a bruise. And the shit is like so sore the next day. You know, it's like you take a little bit of information.
Well done. You fixed it.
Yeah, right. And I think we all do stuff like that. So that's interesting. So you would probably say that people are overthinking it a little bit too much. Have you ran into anybody? Because I think some of the things that I often hear, and this is my problem too, and I'm always working on it, but it's like hip pain and hip pain when squatting. And so do you find that when you work with people, do you see that they have something more common than others? So like, is it like their feet, or the mechanics of the squat is usually the thing, or do you think it's so individual? Maybe it's like, you don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to generalize. I will say that starting at the feet makes a difference for a lot of people. I will also say that just looking at what form, I mean, sometimes people just don't have it on. I mean, maybe they're doing their own thing and maybe they have no friends. I don't know. But some people are just like, like your form is just trash.
Yeah.
Like, start there. So, I mean, sometimes it comes down to that and they're, you know, muscling through it.
Yes.
You know, maybe they're doing, I don't know, doing a good morning squat all the time. And you're just like, you know, using your whole back. Like, okay, well, take the weight down, figure it out. You know, even your legs out, get some strength down and work on your form, because that's what's causing the trouble. I will say I can make one blanket statement, actually, and that's for all lifts, is that most people do not know how to brace whatsoever.
What do you see they're doing wrong?
Well, it's okay, so when you brace, so if you took, like, you went where your hip front is to your belly button, somewhere in between, and you squeeze that muscle and you could feel something there, great, lovely. But most people can't even find that right muscle.
Yeah.
So most people are just pushing into their belts.
Yeah.
They're just taking a deep breath, just doing a Valsalva, like, oh, I'm bracing. Like, no, no, man, you got to find where that muscle is and use it.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes you can't see it. If it's just somebody pushing into a belt and, you know, it's not really working out, they're not really doing it. But sometimes you can tell, you might see somebody that has like that crazy arch when they're lifting, or, you know, they look good going down, they come up, they fall apart. I mean, it's like, if you're not solid from your core, nothing's solid.
Yeah. I do feel like, I mean, I was bracing what I thought was bracing right for years, and I was not. And it's funny how you just find those things out later. And what you're talking about is exactly how I figured it out, was that I started really feeling the sides where my obliques would be versus engaging my rectus. So I would always flex my six pack, in a sense, right? So that's what I thought was bracing, right? So I'm like, you know, flexing that six pack, like somebody's, And I think the term we always used to use, which I don't use now because that triggers the six pack, is like, imagine I'm punching you in the stomach, right? Because that's what, I mean, when I think of that, I tighten up my rectus. So I tighten up the six pack, right? But when we start talking about pushing against the belt, when you have those fingers there and you're pushing out like that, that to me makes a big difference. And then you're like, oh shit, so how do I breathe with this? And then wait, how do I actually squat with this?
That's like level one is find it. Level two
is actually without the belt, with the belt. I mean, there's so many things. And then how are you going to get into the correct position with all that? Are you going to pack your neck? Are you going to, you know, create that space and then keep it in the hole? Like, there's so much to think about, but I think you're really right when it comes to that, when it's just talking about getting those techniques down.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. It's absolutely, there are some people, and, you know, I'm like, what is that? What episode was that? I can't remember what show that was. They had Spider-Man, might've been like a Family Guy. He saved somebody and they're like, everybody gets one. And he like disappears. Like, I kind of do that at the gym. Like, everybody gets one. And, you know, I just, like, come in, like, oh, hey, what you doing over here? And just kind of, like, touch something, tweak something. Yeah. So a lot of the time, it's bracing. And there will be some people that are, like, killing it on a squat. And I go up to them, I'm like, hey, let me show you this muscle real quick. And then they go back to the lift. They're like, oh, my God, I'm dying. I'm like, well.
So let's talk about a little bit of Pool for Pride. So you're hosting a Pool for Pride this summer, right?
Yes.
How did that come about?
I filed that under, you know, things I just felt like doing, so I did it. So 2019 is my, like, fuck it, why not year.
That's great.
So I saw it come up last June. I can't remember how many cities. Maybe it was like 4 or 7. It was a little bit less cities. But, you know, every city's hosting a deadlift charity competition for a charity in their area. So it's literally, you know, the entire month of June just flooded with like rainbow tutus and people in crazy outfits. And I'm just like, yo, what is this? So it's Women's Strength Coalition that puts it on. So I started following them. I followed Shannon, who's a big part of it. And I kind of like kept up with what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then they kind of put out like, oh, apply. You want to be the next city for Pool for Pride? And that was, you know, 2019. Fuck it, why not? So I said, fuck it, why not? Pride. And then, you know, they answered back like, oh, hey, yeah, you can do this. And this is what we have to do. And that's it.
And so how is that going? It says people, you have it in June, right? It's June, right?
And then June 22nd, yes. So it's some of the other cities like Oakland, the bigger cities, Oakland, New York, or should I say Brooklyn, sold out already. They're already done. Registration just opened on March 1st. They're already closed out. We still got spots. But there's also a lot of education and whatever that goes into it, because everybody that knows about Women's Strength Coalition or, knows about that kind of circle, we're not necessarily the same people as the people at the gym.
How
So
so?
there's
What do
a
you mean? What do you
there's a
mean by
like
that?
like you could go on the Broward Barbell page right now. I posted the video about Pull for Pride, and it's a deadlift only, it's LGBTQ oriented charities, whatever, whatever. Our charity's Equality Florida. They do a lot of advocacy work for tons of different things like school bullying or like actual policy. So I posted a little video and somebody commented and they're like, "Oh, so is this like a gay gym?" I'm just like, "Huh?"
So ignorant.
Sir? So
What did you say? Yes.
there question mark.
Yes.
That was the first part of the response. So yeah,
Yes,
there's a lot of people
motherfucker,
that
it
just don't
is.
get it. And I'm like, no, there's no weight classes, there's no divisions. Don't care if you're male, female, don't identify as anything, alien, don't care. Show up, we're lifted. You could be 10, you could be 75, and people are just like, what?
Yeah, it's a little bit of
Not com
educating. So and I didn't even realize that it was just a deadlift. I didn't even that makes more sense why it's pull for pride.
Yeah, just deadlifting. You can show up in whatever outfit you want to show up in, and flights will, I mean, just organize it by opening attempts. It doesn't matter if you're 72 kgs. It doesn't matter if you're masters, you're junior. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
It's really a fundraiser, so it's like not really more of an awareness than it is a real competition in that
Yeah,
sense.
not sanctioned or anything.
Yeah,
There's
right.
no award or prize, any state records. Like, you're just gonna lift heavy shit and have fun.
So have you gotten any resistance?
Kind of comments. That's pretty much it.
That's good. I mean,
Yeah.
I feel like you guys are progressive enough that you don't have things like that. Like, I definitely think that there would be resistance in my area. I'm not sure. I don't think anybody has done anything here. I think about it, but I think it's wonderful. There's always so much like wonderful looking outfits. Let me just tell you. Whenever it's Wolf of Pride, I'm like, these motherfuckers, look at these like tutus and like just some
Yeah.
amazing. I mean, it's just fabulous.
Unicorn onesies, just like
Yeah.
wild, absolutely
So what made
wild.
you start the quad shop? Because you own your own business as
Yeah.
well as the quad shop. And what made you go that route?
Well, I've always been a creative person. I've always had, I had an Etsy shop before it was cool. Like, I had so many phases. I used to do jewelry, I did
Sound like
t-shirts,
me.
I did like painting, photography, I did nail polish for a bit. I've always had something. And it was always kind of like, use my creative thing to make money. And
Yeah.
then, that you get burned out from that really quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. So I made this t-shirt company with my friends, my husband and our best friend. And it was kind of cool for a while. It was just like generic, like, oh, this is a cool logo. It's a beefy guy. Super gym bro, whatever kind of vibe. And then, life happens and I kind of like it died. I started in 2015, but most of the work I've done on it was maybe 2017, like 2 years later. And I actually saw, yeah, it kind of died off. Life got in the way, my issues, my mom, everything. So, and then on top of that, I still have a real job to work.
Let's not forget about
So, yeah,
that.
it kind of died off. And then I saw somebody posting, one of my Instagram friends, not real life friends. I don't so I have tons of those. Yeah, so she started posting, she was getting on her soapbox a lot about inclusive fitness and, just stuff you see all the time, you can relate to, it's whatever. But then she had this one post up about fitness companies, and she was like, who do you see? If you go on somebody's Instagram or the website in the store, like, who do you see out there? Like, is fitness just for thin, blonde, aged, 25 to 35 people? Like, who's out here? And I was like, man, you know what? She's right. And I have a platform where I could do something like this, and I'm getting to know people. I'm out there, and and there's nothing for us. So that's kind of how it kind of woke back up. And I, you know, I went on there and I was like, I mean, there's some great companies out there, but we're all small.
Yeah.
And for the most part, we all know each other. Like, it's not a competition, it's a collaboration. So, you know, there's me, Quad Squad. I have stuff that's all sizes, all ranges. You know, I have like a shirt you could buy. It says Black AF, Strong AF. And on the other range, you could get Disabled AF.
Yeah.
Strong AF. You know, I have like logos with the pride colors, all sorts of things. And then, you know, you kind of just have to build our own little circle and build each other up. So there's me, there's Sisters of Powerlifting, you know, there's Women's Strength Coalition, there's Rooted Resistance, there's Decolonizing Fitness. They're pretty big. And there's some other ones like Bad Girls Barbell Club, Fear Her Fight Athletics. So we're all kind of out here, whether we're just talking about women or brown people or gay people or whatever, just whatever it is that is other, you know, you kind of build that up. So that's where I'm kind of going. That's the direction it is.
I like that.
Sprouted into.
Yeah. It definitely has much more of a deeper meaning than I thought.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, I feel like that's kind of like where I wanted to go with the podcast. You know, it's really kind of to just get, you know, some of the best people in different fields talking about things that are personal, you know, things that are touchy, things that are important, you know, things about training, so that we all have a voice, you know? I mean, I'm sure there's another Haitian woman out there listening, thinking like, oh, that's cool. You know, maybe she's 18 and she's going to, you know, therapy school. And she's like, I know this Haitian woman is a strong man competitor.
Yeah, you never know. You never know what somebody's words will do for you. Like, you never. And the even reason, like the physical therapy stuff, the fact that I opened my own clinic and my own gym, I started that because I saw Rory, who's also 72 kg. She was in the same prime time, whatever, with me 2017, you know, so obviously I stalked everybody. Right. So I followed her. I'm like, oh, she's a PT. Cool. And she started posting YouTube videos. That's how I got started. That's how I opened my own clinic. And I was like, well, shit, this lady could do it. I could too.
Right. That's exactly like, it.
You never know. You never know who's going to touch you, who's going to say something that moves you.
Yeah. Who would ever thought that you would have started weight training after hearing a conversation that wasn't even directed towards you?
Exactly. I was just walking by.
you never know. It's so true. I think that's always important. And making relationships and branching out like you're talking about, I think has been one of the most pivotal things for me. And I'm more of an outward person. So I guess I'm more of an extrovert, whereas like my husband is not. And so for him to go out and do something, it's draining for him, you know, so being a coach and doing those other things, it's draining for him. So he has to have like his time where he can.
His me time, decompress. Right?
Exactly. And I understand that my father's like that. And I've talked about this book before, but it's called Quiet. And it talks about introverts and misconceptions of introverts and how we think they're quiet or they're shy. But a lot of introverts are not shy. I mean, my husband's not shy and he's an introvert, you know, and I would not classify him as shy, but he's just not somebody that rejuvenates by talking to people. Like he doesn't
do anything for
him. No, it doesn't excite him. It drains him. It's the opposite. So one of the things that's helped him and owning a business that he's had to do that is networking. Like he does not like going to events and meeting people for the first time. Like, making that small talk is like, ugh, I don't even want to go through that. Like, it's just like, you know, like, I understand it. Whereas for me, I could small talk all day. Like, I'd be up in the clubs, like, all drunk, just talking with some dudes in the corner. Like, all, you know, just that was me. I was like one of those people, like, I could have those small talk conversations easily. So it's interesting because I feel like a lot of doors have opened for us too because of that, you know, because he decided, you know, okay, let's go to this. Let's go to this Fit Expo. So we went to not a Fit Expo. It was, the guy who owns Fit Body Boot Camps, he holds Bedros Koulian. He holds sort of a fitness business seminar, and he holds it every year, and it was fabulous. So we went a couple of years ago, and that was hard for him, like, to, like, get out of his spot. And the only reason why he came was because Joe DeFranco was coming. And that was somebody who has his, you know, somebody he respects a lot. And he has certification.
Yeah, so he kind of had to go stand for somebody. That's his motivation.
Like, he's like, well, I'll go if you want to go. But, you know, that simple thing like that, like, not being afraid and just saying, getting uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Made a big difference. We met a lot of people who were still acquaintances now. We're not friends, but we're acquaintances. And even then, that has opened up other doors for us. So I think that's one, that's an important thing as you, like, progress, not in just in life, but even in fitness. You want to make this a career, you want to be a therapist, you want to be somebody who's in this realm. I think it's important. You got to step out of your comfort zone a tiny bit.
Definitely. I mean, me today, you know, I could talk up somebody. I could be talking to somebody in my DMs for weeks. I have no idea where they are, what they're doing. And they just, you know, they just popped in, hey, I like what you're up to. I have an autoimmune disease too, and I'll just talk to them forever, or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or I run across somebody's page, like I find a Pilates instructor near me, and she's Black, she's a woman. I'm like, oh, all right, what are you up to? Just DM or talk to her. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, you never know what'll come out of it, and if nothing comes out of it, whatever. Like, I had a nice conversation.
Yeah. You know, my kids asked me that today. They're like, Mom, do you ever get scared when you're on TV? Because we had some people come on, because we did a thing on TV. But today at our physical therapy clinic, there was we got the news came and they did a thing about actually physical therapy assistant programs and other trade programs where you don't have to do 4 years of college and all this kind of stuff. So we started talking about, they're like, do you ever get scared when you're on TV? And I'm like, yeah, I get scared every time. Like, I get nervous. And they're like, so what do you do? I was like, I suck it up. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I go, you know what? If you're not a little nervous about, or, you know, thinking about it, I'm not one to say like, oh, then it's, you're not really doing it, or whatever people like to say about that kind of stuff. I go, I still get a little nervous because it's important to me and I want to make sure that I'm presenting myself in the best way that I possibly can. I go, but I don't let my nerves control me anymore, because who cares? I go, even if I said something wrong, who cares? Who's going to... You know, who's embarrassed? I'm not going to be embarrassed.
And that's the other thing. When I have, you know, people, oh, you're so strong, or oh, you're so, oh, I thought you were intimidating. I'm like, I mean, I could be scared shitless. I could be like, I don't know if I'm going to make it today.
Yep.
I could be like, I hope I don't trip and fall over my own toes. But you're not going to know that. That's for me to worry about.
Yeah, exactly. That's so funny. I had one of the doctors in our area, a wonderful woman, Dr. Gonda. I just saw her the other day. And she goes, are you ready for your competition? And I was like, yeah, it's in a couple weeks. She's like, you are so brave. I'm like, I am not brave. And she's like, you are brave. Like, brave? That's not brave. And she's like, you're so brave to get up on stage and people looking at me. Like, I would be, like, so freaked out. I was like, no, trust me. There's a lot of people that take, like, shots.
Yeah.
Like, right before, she's like, I'd need a Xanax. Like, before I got up there, I go, nah, you got it. You just get used to that kind of stuff after a while. But it's so funny that thought is still there. And now I just don't. I think it comes with experience, though. You know, like, you have to kind of go through things before you're like, oh, that, who gives a fuck? That's nothing. You know, it's really nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to worry
about. Yeah. It's not a big deal. If, you know, what's going to happen? Somebody's going to leave a bad comment somewhere. I'm like,
oh, yeah. Right.
Okay. Next.
Oh, dude, this has been awesome. And I'm so happy that we were able to, like, talk about everything and really kind of touch on this autoimmune. And I really hope that everything goes well for you and you're able to find out more answers, because it feels like you're still trying to find things out.
Yeah, I'm still floating around.
Well, I will have your info for everybody to find you when they're all aches and pains and they need to fix their SI joint and their piriformis is tight.
Release their hip flexors.
I have this ball and I've been putting it here and I left it there for 30 minutes.
Listen.
Just lay down. And I'll put all the info about Pull for Pride. So if any of you are interested in supporting Pull for Pride, it's going to be out at Broward Barbell June 22nd, which is fantastic. And I'll put all the information so you guys can find it on the podcast.